Welcome back to another episode of Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. I'm Dalton, that's Monty, and we're going to do breakfast better and wake up to oven-baked bacon and savory sausage in a breakfast baconator. Start looking forward to tomorrow morning at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours only. Monty, we are here at Shea Center, talked with Steve Kerr, talked with Bob Myers, and the first bit of news has to do with Andre Iguodala. In the fact that it's not full news, it's kind of a half news, I guess you could say. The fact that Andre Iguodala has been here. He's been in the working on the facility, so we do know that. And that Steve Kerr and Bob Myers are both hopeful. I mean, Bob Myers said if it was up to him, he'd have him around for years, whether it be player or just be on the team. He's that important. So we're going to know sooner than later. We can know in the next day, in the next few minutes, what Andre Iguodala's future is going to be. But again, I think what Steve Kerr and Bob Myers make clear today is just how much they value him and want him around the team.
Yeah, I think the fact that Andre has been in the facility working out, working with the trainers, working with the staff here, suggests to me what I'd always thought, that he's leaning towards coming back to play, but had not yet decided. And as we record this on Thursday afternoon, anticipate that he'll have a podcast on Friday. And at that time, we'll say what he's going to do, because training camp actually begins on Saturday. So at the same time, though, Bob Myers did say that, you know, the possibility of him not being at camp and not, you know, he could join them at some point in the season. You know, it's possible that he could miss camp and just be a part of the team at some point, later point. So ideally, yeah, he'll be at camp and he'll decide to play and he'll come to camp and be with the team. But they're giving him a lot of latitude to decide his own future.
Yeah.
As long as if he wants to play, like you said, if he wants to play, the Warriors will have him. If he doesn't want to play, the Warriors would still have him around if they can.
Yeah, Bob Myers actually said he's earned this. He's earned the latitude, right? And depending on the right reasons, he could come later on in training camp. He could come maybe after the Japan trip. He could come maybe at the start of the season if something's going on, or later on if there's a certain injury. So there's going to be obviously some variables, but we know that they want him here. There's no doubt about it. But we've talked about a little bit of everyone so far coming into training camp now that it's finally basically here. What we have left is the remaining backcourt guys. And one guy that I think is almost fallen on a little bit under the radar at this point is Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
You know, he could end up being such a steal in free agency, somebody who was turning into a breakout player just a year or two ago, before he had that injury in the playoffs. And then last season, he wasn't ready, obviously, the start of the season, and he just wasn't back to himself at the beginning with the Bucks. When he got traded to the Kings, he started to look more like the Dante DiVincenzo that we know, that somebody that can be a two-way player, play sound defense, really play strong defense in the lanes, get steals, and also help you from long distance as well. If he's shooting in the mid-high 30s from three-point range, that's a big-time win for the Warriors.
Yeah, and Bob mentioned that Dante had a bigger financial offer in front of him, but he chose to come to the Warriors. So that tells me that he's looking at this as a one-year opportunity to sort of reset his market, you know. And the fact that he's coming here on the cheap says that he will be really motivated to play well, sort of like Otto Porter did last year, you know. Otto had some injuries in his history, and there were some questions about how durable he would be. How is he still able to be a good player? Because at one point, he was a big-time player. And Otto can't play back-to-backs, and he can't play 35 minutes a night. But he did enough this season to get another contract elsewhere and make it work for him. Dante is in the same situation, where if he's good for this team this year, he probably won't be with them next year. But they'll accept that because, again, he has that two-way ability. And if he can get his shot going, which, you know, we know he can do it, that'll be huge because, again, the backcourt, we know most of the minutes are going to go to Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Jordan Poole. So that leaves Dante, you know, Moses Moody, a couple other guys like sort of scrambling around for what's left. But you got you know, basically 96 minutes there, 48 minutes each position. And Jordan and Steph and Klay are going to take probably 80 of those minutes, if not 90. So it's up to Dante to see where he can get into this rotation.
Yeah, and Dante can look at guys like Gary Payton II, Otto Porter Jr., guys who establish themselves on the Warriors and earn those bigger contracts. You know, that this is someone who's on a 2-year deal, I think $9.3 million,
right,
but a player option for the second year.
Yep.
You know, and he had guys like Steph Curry calling him, guys like Draymond Green calling him and saying, hey, come here. You're like, you're going to help us, we're going to help you. Like, this could be such a good mutual beneficial, you know, marriage per se, basically, between Dante DiVincenzo and the Warriors. So I think, again, it's somebody who's kind of gone under wraps, a winner in college, a winner in the pros, and now someone who can pretty seamlessly find himself into that middle of the rotation off the bench and maybe work his way up to an even more important role as the season progresses.
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned that they have 96 guard minutes to go out per night, but Clay can slide to the three at times. So there may be space there for Dante if he plays well enough to get that. So it's just, for him, it's, I want to say redemption, but this is an opportunity for him. And he has to look at it that way. I think they're happy to have him because they know he'll be motivated. And so we'll see what he does when camp opens, but I expect that he will be able to be, at some point, part of the rotation.
And both Steve Kerr and Bob Myers basically said today that, look, outside of the top six, the rotation is wide open. Yep. I mean, we know who the top six guys are going to be, that starting five, and then Jordan Poole. Right. Yes, he's a sixth man, but he's going to get spot starts, and he's a huge part of the offense, obviously, right? And one of the guys that they did bring up that Steve Kerr said he's got a great chance to, you know, crack that rotation and earn more minutes is Moses Moody.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about someone who's 20 years old, and I think about the word trust. And the way that they showed trust in Moses Moody when Gary Payton II went down in the playoffs, you know, and I think that he's someone who's kind of that steady Eddie, like, mm-hmm. like that steady presence, right?
Yeah.
Even that young, they know that he can kind of – nothing's going to be erratic when Moses Moody's on the floor. He's going to do the little things the right way. He's going to play some sound defense, put a hand in your face. And so I think that they already trust him, and that trust can be earned more and more. And he can find himself climbing up the depth chart pretty seamlessly, I think.
Yeah, Moses is a guy who he came in here at 19, but he had a 29-year-old head. And by that, I mean that, you know, he thought like a veteran. And Draymond explained it one day by saying the difference between he and Kuminga, you can tell that Moses has been around people who taught him the game for a long time. He's practicing the ways of basketball. He's advanced in the way the best in terms of strategy and tactics and reading the game, whereas Jonathan is still learning those things. So Moses has earned the trust of these veteran guys. You know, his discipline is pretty good. They want it to be a little bit better. His defense is pretty good, possibly can get better. But if his shot's falling, he can help his team. And so I think Moses sees the opportunity there. He wants it, and he's one of those guys you also hear this about. He's always working at it. He works his butt off at it. So he's a gym rat, and that'll work in his favor. So I think, you know, when you're a gym rat, coaching staffs tend to love that. You know, and so I think that's one of the things that will help Moses. Can I say he'll be in the rotation? I think he probably will get there at some point. Whether it'll be at the beginning, we'll see. But let's face it, you know, other than the starting five and Jordan Poole, you've got about six guys maybe. You know, you got Wiseman, you've got Jermichael Green, you've got Moses, you've got DiVincenzo. Who else? You've got Kuminga. So you've got all these guys that are going to be fighting for minutes, and it's going to be, I mean, I think that's part of the appeal of this training camp is that you got, the Warriors are not going to play 11 deep. They may go 8 or 9 deep, but who will the other three be besides Jordan off the bench? And I think it's safe to say Jermichael's going to be one of those guys. And I think it's pretty safe to say that Wiseman's going to be one of those guys. So now you're talking about 2 or 3 positions at most. So that's going to be a lot hard to watch, and I'm not saying hard, going to be hard to determine and fun to watch. So we'll see where it goes. But Moses being having the respect of his teammates and the coaching staff gives him a leg up.
It's a deep top 11. This should be a lot of competition, which to me only breeds good things, you know, within sports, within the Warriors like that. And another thing with Moses is that he can be versatile. He's 6'6". He's a 7'1" wingspan. You know, he can play shooting guard. He can slide out to a small forward, a wing position too. In summer league, they put the ball more in his hands to make quick decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the same thing this year where, you know, he's not going to be running the show as a point guard.
Right.
But I think that they expect him to make those smart, quick decisions. The one area that I want to look for him is behind the three-point line.
Yeah.
In college, he was like a 35, 36% shooter. His rookie year – 36, getting closer to 37%. In the few G League games that he did spend with Santa Cruz, he was a 41% guy. He got hot for a big game in Vegas from beyond there. So it's also about just kind of the flow with that. Because we saw in Dallas when he was getting GP2's minutes, it was more for defense, the little things. Mm-hmm. But then when they almost had that crazy comeback win, mm-hmm. he was more
huge.
You know, it was easy. And, okay, I got to score now.
Yeah.
Let's just catch the ball and shoot. Let's not think about, okay, steps on the floor or anything. It was him and the young guys.
Yeah.
And he was just playing, and it was fun to watch. So I think the three-point shot can be big for him this season.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, yeah, if he shoots between 35 and 40%, he'll get minutes because you know he's going to do the right thing. And when you have the trust of your teammates – and you can shoot the ball a little bit too. It's hard to keep that guy off on the bench.
Win a new Mercedes-Benz, cash, and more this month at Graton Resort and Casino. Play to enter the Mercedes Winner's Choice Giveaway on September 30th, where you could win a new Mercedes-Benz. Plus, more ways to win than anywhere else. Tuesdays, turn points into slot play. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, win up to $15,000 in the wild winning slot tournaments. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
And when we're talking about news-wise, another big thing was just health. The fact that the Warriors, when we talk about Patrick Baldwin Jr., we've already talked about James Wiseman, but Ryan Rollins as well, someone who they're very high on, who, you know, they didn't see as a second-round talent. They saw him as a first-round talent, traded up for him in the second round, but he didn't get to play at all in summer league because of foot injury. He's fully healthy. Patrick Baldwin Jr. is fully healthy. James Wiseman's fully healthy. Steve Kerr says that all 20 players that they're going to bring to Japan are going to play. And we just talked about competitiveness. That's great for that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great to see Ryan Rollins, someone who I'm really interested to see as well, because we just talked about the length of Moses Moody. Rollins is another one of those guys, almost kind of like a Sean Livingston type of long, lanky body. And same thing with the three-point shot for him. That's what he said he wants to work on a lot, because he scored big-time points, you know, at a lower tier college level in his conference, but it was more from that mid-range. Like, mm-hmm. he dominated from that mid-range. And that's where the Sean Livingston comparison comes back as well, obviously.
Yeah, I think watching the video that I've seen of Rollins reminded me in some ways of Monte Ellis, mm-hmm. who didn't have a great three-point shot, but found ways to score mid-range and dive into the hoop. And I think Rollins is similar that way. He's not afraid to go to the bucket, you know. And so if you've got a solid mid-range shot and you can get to it, quick enough, and he's quick enough to do it, you can get it off. You know, the concern about guys that shoot mid-range shots is that, can they get it off in time? Can they be crafty enough to be able to avoid, to pump fake, or be able to avoid the defenses that collapse when you invade the paint? So, and he can. And so the question is now, his defense, you know, he's going to play defense because, you know, everything that about him says that he loves to play defense. That's what I heard before the draft. It's what I heard after the draft. It's what he said too. So, and Steve Kerr is a big proponent of guys that can play defense. And it's one of the things, it's the one thing he said about Jordan Poole. You know, Jordan established himself last year as an NBA player. Now we want to see him play some defense.
Yeah.
We want to see that two-way ability because we think he has it. So Rollins is a guy who I think coming in the door, they believe he can play, he can defend guards in the NBA.
Well, I think the Santa Cruz Warriors are going to be a lot of fun too when we think about Ryan Rollins, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Gui Santos, Lester Quiñones, who, you know, they made a priority right after the draft to make him a two-way guy. They went out and got him from Memphis, someone who can be a sharpshooter from deep for them. But someone who's excelled in Santa Cruz is Quindari Weatherspoon,
mm-hmm.
who's coming into a very big training camp where he's on the two-way deal again. I think it's the last year that he's eligible for a two-way status.
Mm-hmm.
And he's someone who I think just training camp-wise, preseason-wise, maybe open a lot of eyes because he's someone who has that defensive,
yes.
you know, minded kind of player who's not an offense-first guy, which the Warriors kind of need and kind of look to for those kind of role players. And that's where I think Weatherspoon, this could be a big next few weeks, big next month for him.
You know what else he has, too, is he has that dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You hear that from the guys that played with him last year from the veteran Warriors, like Draymond. They like this kid. And so, I mean, Quindar's, I think, 25, 26 years old. But he's a guy that feels the game pretty well, seems to like playing defense. But when you have a guy on your roster, even if he's a two-way guy, if you can see how much it means to him, you can tell how badly he wants to be on the court. it's hard not to like that guy.
No,
and so he's that dude.
He's a heck of an athlete too. I mean, yeah. I just being around a few practices, seeing the way he goes back and forth, he's someone who can get up.
Yes.
You know, so I think that he's definitely an NBA athlete. I think that in the G League, he was more putting up big G League numbers.
Right.
And now they want to see how he fits into an NBA rotation with the Golden State Warriors, not just the Santa Cruz Warriors, you know, and find his fit. What could his piece be starting off as a two-way guy and maybe earn a bigger role as the season goes on? You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, if this team is healthy, it's hard to see him getting a lot of minutes.
Definitely, yeah.
But, you know, it really does a team make it through the season without somebody getting hurt, whether it's just for a week or two or three sometimes. And God forbid, if it's a long – if it's an injury that keeps somebody out for a month or two, it's a different situation. But Weatherspoon's a guy that they like – obviously like him a lot. They brought him back.
Yeah.
You know, they brought him back because they like what he does. And again, that's big reason why is they like what he does on the defensive end. So it's going to be fun to see who emerges from this group of two-way guys and youngsters and gets minutes. And got to put Patrick Baldwin in that group too.
Yeah, you do. I mean, they talked about him where he's probably going to start off in Santa Cruz. But it's clear, and I liked hearing that Ron Adams is a big fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I believe it was Bob Myers who said today. That's someone that you want in your corner for sure. You know, a basketball lifer, no doubt about it. And someone else too, who's a defensive guy, and Patrick Baldwin. We've heard more about his offense, mm-hmm. more about his feel for the game. So to have him on your side, to me, speaks volumes. And you know, I think that he's someone who, again, it's going to be so hard to crack the rotation. To crack that like that top 10. But we've talked about incremental progress with somebody like James Wiseman. The same thing goes with Ryan Rollins and Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Yeah, I think they may be in some situations similar to what happened with Jordan in his first couple of years, where if he's not getting minutes here, they'll send him to Santa Cruz so he can get regular minutes. And especially Baldwin, because he hasn't played a lot the past couple of years. He had a short senior season in high school, and he had a short freshman season in college. So he hasn't played a lot of basketball. And if he can't get minutes at the NBA level, the Warriors won't hesitate to send him down to Santa Cruz and get some G League minutes, get him 35 minutes a night, 30 minutes a night, just so he can get basketball rhythm. It's going to be hard to see him getting that rhythm here, but the reports I've heard from several people that they like what they've seen so far, despite the fact that this kid, you know, didn't play well as a freshman in college, but then he went to the combine and really stunk it up. But I said, you know what? He's looking good now. He's healthy. And they attribute the fact that he didn't do so well at the combine to the fact that he wasn't healthy. And now he's looking healthy, looking more athletic. So, he's impressing people. We'll see where it goes. But it makes sense that he will probably play most of his minutes in Santa Cruz because that's where the minutes are.
The final question I have for you, it would be the X factor of the two bigger free agent signings with Dante DiVincenzo and Jermichael Green. They're such different players, and they're going to have much different roles. But X factor-wise, who do you think can be that bigger X factor as the season goes off coming off the bench?
Well, I think DiVincenzo, because I think with Jermichael Green, you know what you're getting. Mm. You know, he's going to shoot better than he did last year, 26.6%. I mean, the previous 5 years, he shot almost 40%. So you know his shot's going to come back because he said his wrist was an issue last year. He's healthy now. So, and on this team, the spacing is usually optimal for guys who can shoot it. So I would think that'll help him out. With DiVincenzo, there's a little bit more mystery. Okay, what can he give you? And I think there's a curiosity there about whether his athleticism will translate into offense and defense. We know he's an athlete. We know he's been able to shoot in the past, but he's had some injuries, and now he's coming back with something to prove. I think his mentality will be a huge factor here, but I think he's the guy you look at and go, okay, a little bit of a mystery here, so let's see what we got.
No doubt about that. And hey, Warriors basketball is back. We'll be back soon. That was the latest episode of Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. I'm Dalton. He's Monty. We'll catch you soon.